This week on Reality Check, we have great news for the veterans in our community. To talk about it, we have Penny Bangs, a whole health coach, and Fletcher Watson, a registered nurse and the whole health program manager for us here in Brookings. Hi, guys. I'm so happy you're here. You know, I had a chance to overlook the program material that you sent to me, and it just looks fabulous. I'm so excited because you hear veterans complaining about the VA and things like that, that things are, you know, not being managed well. This sounds really excellent. Is it a new program?
Well, thank you for having us, first of all. And there are new things being developed on a regular basis, but many of these we've actually had in place for several years, and we're continuing to grow and build on and expand them. And there are a number of new aspects which we're excited to talk to you about today.
Yeah, and I guess part of the process is to reach out and let the vets know about that. These things are available. How does that happen? Do they just introduce themselves to the vets, the office here in town, or do you have some way of contacting them if they haven't already reached out to you?
One of the things we do is when they come into the VA medical clinic for appointments, the nurses and the doctors, the front staff, they can talk to the veterans about it too. Say you have problems with diabetes and we have a diabetic management class, and they'll say, hey, we have this class and I can have Penny come in and talk to you about it, or they can just hand them a flyer on it and then they can get them signed up for it. So there's right. So different ways like that, but and word of mouth, veterans are telling veterans to come in, so different means like that.
And like this.
Yes, and yeah. Just like this, and we appreciate you having us.
Oh, I really appreciate you folks being here. How about describing for us a little bit about what the program is about? How are you approaching it? What are the mission statements, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I'd like to start just by giving a bit about what whole health means in the
Great.
VA right now.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, some of these programs have been around for a little while. They are really focused on health promotion, disease prevention, overall well-being. But what's been happening lately is a whole health culture change, whole health system change. And what it really is a change in the way that we deliver care system-wide.
Okay.
We are looking at not only the care that we provide, but also the types of care is being offered and the culture within and throughout the whole system. So there's a shift, and one of the ways we like to explain it, kind of fun to explain it to veterans as well as our community, is the conversation is really changing from what's the matter with you
mm-hmm.
to what matters to you.
Mm.
And finding out from the veteran in a partnership what motivates them, what do they want their health for, and then in that we really get to partner with them, come behind them, support them, and guide them through connecting them to the various resources that our system has and is continuing to grow.
How would you express what the motive behind that is? What's the philosophy there? I mean, imagine that motivation is really important in any kind of lifestyle change, which is one of the more challenging things people have to do in life, is make themselves do things that are for their own good, but not necessarily as much fun as some other things. And that's not always the case. Some stuff is fun. But, you know, I find when I have to change a habit pattern, it's really pulling teeth. And so for me, I imagine that if you can connect it to the motivation of what in the long run that's going to benefit me to be able to, you know, walk farther, dance longer, whatever it is that I'm into, that's going to be really helpful. But I'm just guessing there. Is that something like what you're thinking?
Absolutely. No, I understand what you're saying. And you're absolutely right. We understand that that is actually the crux of behavior change. For
mm-hmm.
any of us who want to change our behavior, what makes it sustainable, we can all change our behavior in the short term for a
right.
number of reasons, to please somebody else, to take care of short-term goals. But really the long-term sustainable change is when we identify deep down what matters to us. What do we want that for? Is it for to be able to pick up our grandchild off the ground and
mm-hmm.
hold them, hug
mm-hmm.
them? Is it to be able to walk through the grocery store and not have to sit down and take a rest, to work up to these places that may seem subtle hearing them out loud, but when the veteran acknowledges that that's what matters to them deep down, and acknowledges why that matters, it becomes this sort of limitless fuel to take whatever those next steps are. And our programs are designed to help uncover what are those next steps. And that's exactly what Penny Bangs does, actually, as a whole health coach.
So when you're approaching things this way, it sounds like very much of a preventive approach as well as remediation of whatever the problem, unquote, is, which is different from most medicine that's out there these days in the allopathic world. I mean, things are changing, but they seem to be changing very slowly, and yet here you are really embracing this new model.
Yes, very much. It's really exciting. Sometimes we talk about it regularly as a team on our morning huddles together, in other words, our team meetings. And some of us are just in awe of, you know, we've kind of dreamt of being a part of something like this in our careers.
Right.
And we're in the midst of it. We're actually living it and doing it every day and experiencing the joy and the inspiration when we hear the stories from the veterans of experiencing these shifts in their own well-being and their empowerment that they can do this
in their life. It's really exciting. And Penny, you're the one that's sort of charged with finding out what the motivators are. Is that just simply interviewing, or how do you get into that process?
Definitely. And talking to them and asking them, you know, and most of them will say, oh, I want to change for my family. No, let's go a little deeper. And one of the ladies just today was saying, yeah, I told you I wanted to do it for my family. And you said, not good enough. You need to go deeper. And she said, I've been thinking and thinking. And she goes, you know what? I want to float down that river with my grandkids. I want to be able to hike into Vulcan Lake. And I can't do that now. But those are the things I want. And those are the things I'm going to work towards. And she is. She's coming to our MOVE class, which is for weight loss and behavior change. And she's coming to the yoga class that I'm doing. And it's just so inspiring to see them get inspired. And that's coming from within them and what they want and what matters to them. Seeing those stories and is just very awesome to be a part of that and be a part of veterans healing and wellness.
Yeah, yeah. And there's such a plethora. There's so many programs here to be a part of. I mean, you've got Qigong and yoga and Tai Chi, and then there's social things, and then there's the more... I guess the more mainstream type programs that I'm sure a lot of people need to work with, chronic pain management, diabetes, weight control, all kinds of things on here. I'm just scratching the surface, really. There's stress reduction. I mean, I can't even imagine that somebody wouldn't find something of value on this really long list of things they could participate in and get something out of.
I'd like to back up and talk to you just a little bit about something you had brought up earlier, and that is the complementary and integrative modalities, as we refer to many of these programs. Mm-hmm. One of the things we really like to share with the veterans when they come in is that it's just that. It's meant to complement other things that they've been doing for their well-being for some time. And in doing so, we hope that engaging in one of these behaviors, such as our battlefield acupuncture, that helps to reduce and manage pain, that if we can reduce their pain even a little bit, they can then engage more in physical activity, which physical activity is well known to be one of the most powerful ways to help manage chronic pain, most chronic pain. But also one of the biggest barriers to physical activity is pain.
Chronic pain.
So we can reduce it even a little bit through engaging in some of these modalities, and then we're seeing great success because the veteran begins that process of feeling empowered. They're noticing changes, and they're more motivated to take those next steps, as you were talking about, when they connect to what matters. All of a sudden, something they didn't think they was possible before suddenly comes within reach.
Yeah, yeah. So what does a typical day look like at the clinic? You have a lot of people participating in these programs, or is it still sort of like in a startup phase?
It is. Here in Brookings, it's more starting up. I've been here for 8 months. The programs are building. I would love to see a whole lot more and get the veterans. I think a lot of them that aren't in the clinic that often and could use it for preventive things aren't, you know, hearing about it. So this is such a great program for you to have, so we can get the word out for sure. A lot of the veterans like to come to the programs just for the camaraderie, just to hang out with other veterans. Right. And one of our funnest stories, I think, is one of the veterans came and he said, well, nobody in my family, no males have ever lived past 75, and I'm 72. And another veteran said, whoa, that's how my family was, but my brother broke that because he's changed his diet and he started exercising. And for that one veteran, the light came on and he's like, well, by God, if he could do it, I could do it. And so he was off and running with this instead of going, well, I'm doomed. I got 3 years left. He has since lost 40 some pounds. Mm-hmm. He has made all these amazing changes in his life. And he's actually going to come on board as a partner with us, a whole health partner, which is a volunteer. So he can go out and talk to veterans and help us get some veterans involved. So,
well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, it really is true. And this fellow wasn't a vet, but a dear friend of mine back in, I would say I was probably around 40 something. And so was he, 45, I think. And he told me that both his father, his uncle, his grandfather, and his great uncle, and all the males in his family going back, as far as he knew, had all died by the age of 52 from heart problems, from stroke, actually. And he changed his lifestyle, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and it was a couple years later. And he, first of all, in changing his lifestyle, he looked like the rest of us 45-year-olds and, you know, getting on. And he looked fabulous. He looked like he was in his 20s. He really did. Not a line in his face, full of energy, really vital. And then last I heard, which was just a couple of years ago, he was still fine, and he's in his 70s now. Hmm. And so these things can really, really happen. It's amazing how much food and exercise and these normal things of lifestyle that we take for granted really impact our health and our longevity and the quality of life as we age. Yeah, it's so important. And I think in America, we don't necessarily come equipped with a good lifestyle. We see a lot of things around us all the time that are pushing in the direction of, you know, eating more sugar and stuff like that that's not so good for us. So it's great to have a counterbalance to all of that.
Yeah, one of the neat things is I hear you talking about this and sharing your story, and it reminds me of being in our classes and facilitating these groups and the discussions with the veterans, is we acknowledge that a lot of the wisdom that's needed to make these changes already exists inside the veterans themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really, we are there to facilitate these discussions, bring up topics, bring up questions, and introduce them to new material. Sometimes mm-hmm. they already knew it. And one of the questions we often like to ask in some of our classes is, you know, we'll pose to the group, you know, you may be expecting us to teach you a great deal of new things, but really, I'll ask you all, if you were to go home and change one, maybe two, at the very most, maybe three things in your everyday life that you know would make an impact mm-hmm. in your everyday well-being, mm-hmm. what would it be? Mm-hmm. And most people can easily identify one, usually two, certainly three, and sometimes even more than that. And so, again, that's where we come in our class and we go, okay, great job. You just proved our point. We all can acknowledge and know these things. We all are pretty well equipped with this information. It's the next thing is how.
Yeah.
How do we do that? And that's where our program facilitators, our whole health coaches really come in.
So how do you do it? How do you make that transition from, I know I should do it, but...
That's got to come from within them. So giving them that, the guidance and the material. I had one of my gentlemen up in North Bend who came to the MOVE class, which is basically a weight loss program, a 12-week program, and didn't lose a single pound. But guess what? He quit smoking. And he quit drinking almost completely. So... Wow. I say that's total success. Yes, he still wants to lose weight and probably needs to lose a little bit of weight, but those are huge things. And you don't really can, you know, stop smoking and try to lose weight at the same time. That's kind of a
one
tough
at a
thing.
Time,
but,
yeah.
You know, he felt like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm a loser because I haven't lost any weight. It's like, you are so not a loser. This is amazing that you have
huge.
Made these changes.
Yeah.
And so to even, you know, get them to see that, you know, and have the other veterans point that out to them, that that's a huge thing, you know, then they build on that success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then maybe next time he's joined another group of ours, the MOVE program ended, and he's now in a whole health social/support group, and where it's kind of part of its BS, you know, just coming together and sharing together, because so many of the veterans love that, getting together with their fellow vets. But always bringing it in some kind of whole health component, whether it be on fitness or stress or recreation or nutrition. So always have it incorporating that to get them leaving there, but thinking about something as they do leave there. And
so it sounds like a lot of the work that you're doing is in a group setting. Some of it's class, but a lot of it's just interactive group.
It is, and we can do either or. We can do the one-on-one. Some people don't like groups, and we can do phone stuff. We can do our diabetic management class is telehealth. So mm-hmm. we have the big TV, and the other diabetic educator is out of Roseburg. So mm-hmm. she's on the TV. I'm in the class with them, and she does her part, and it's all interactive. And then after she does her hours, we do some more basic whole health stuff. Talking for the next 30 minutes. So there's such potential for so many. We are reaching out to these veterans in all kinds of different ways, and it's really cool to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. I'm aware too that, you know, for a lot of people as they age, social isolation becomes part of the problem of in terms of maintaining health and aliveness, really. And, so the fact that they have a chance to be in these interactive groups, getting that support, getting that contact, and groups that are, you know, more than just, hi, how are you, but, you know, this is what's really going on with me kind of thing, is super important.
They so support each other. It is so neat. And then some of them are like, well, okay, this is the end of the group, so now what? And I say, oh, we have this whole health social group. And a lot of them will come and join that because they just like the camaraderie. And so that's just a huge piece. We just watched a film today during my Taking Charge of My Life and Health class, because the topic was family, friends, and coworkers, community, you know, and mm-hmm. how important that is. And we watched this video, and it's the longest running study ever that Harvard did it, and it's been mm-hmm. going since the 30s on men, and the outcome, they were looking for what creates happiness and uh-huh. health and wellness, and it's community, having healthy relationships. And they've studied this for 70 some years, and that's the outcomes. And so that's an eye opener to see that. And then, you know, the veterans to go, wow, you know, because like you said, isolating is, I mean, we can be lonely in a, you know, amongst 1,000 people and still be lonely, even though we're out there. We can be in a relationship, but that doesn't mean it's a healthy one. So
that's
if it's
right.
not a healthy one, then, you know, it's more destructive than it is
mm-hmm.
for. So, that I think that is a huge piece, is what the veterans bring. And even if that's all they're getting, is that camaraderie and that support from their fellow veterans, that is, to me, is a huge piece. It doesn't have to necessarily be about making major changes. Yes, we'd like to see that, but those little things can lead to them down the road. But that's the start for some of them.
Well, thinking about the vets in general, I assume that most of your cohort that you're working with is male, and that one of the hallmarks traditionally of men as they age, if they're not in an active couple or something like that, is that they can get really isolated. And I know we did a show recently about suicide, and one of the groups that is really at risk are veterans for that. Do you have groups that are specifically around that, or is there any way that you're thinking about suicide prevention in your groups or in your program in general?
Within every program that we have, we are certainly we're plugged in with our whole health, our whole system. Mm-hmm. So we make referrals to the appropriate disciplines, to mental health, to therapists, or even our suicide prevention coordinator when those types of, when there's imminent risk to mm-hmm. self.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we've actually seen that there is literature, research even being done locally up in Portland,
mm-hmm.
Where they have looked at whole health coaching and its particular benefits to history of suicidal ideations or those kind of things. And it largely just circles back to a lot of the things we've talked about.
Yeah.
Is it begins this place where the veteran has this safe space to begin to explore what matters, to talk about those kind of things and really identify what motivates them. And they start to experience a sense of re-engagement, re-empowerment. And then in the social setting too, kind of tying back to some of the things that you've both already talked about is, as Penny identified, sometimes we meet them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us, again, this shift in the culture is not about telling the veteran what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding out what they're ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is sort of this plugging back into a social structure and having this this camaraderie. And then it becomes fertile. Something clicks. They hear another veteran going through something similar and they're like, oh, I would like to try that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this... I've tried acupuncture before. Or I've always thought the battlefield acupuncture is kind of fun because we hear that often. Veterans come in and they're admittedly, respectfully so, admittedly skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we smile knowingly because it's a pretty amazing experience to us every time too, because it's seemingly simple and yet it has these drastic impacts on their well-being so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, they became open to it because they heard about it from a fellow veteran.
Right, right. And that's one of the things that jumped out at me was this battlefield acupuncture. I probably, you know, the roots of where it came from, but there is in Chinese medicine a whole branch of acupuncture that's called auricular acupuncture, just in the ear. And I imagine that it's kind of a derivation off of that, which is a 5,000-year-old study. I mean, it's very, very effective. And they did it because, you know, you weren't supposed to touch people on their bodies and so on. So if you could get at them through their ear and that was a safe place to touch, then you could treat them and not run across the social mores that were against being touched in all of those other places in those days. So really interesting that it's been boiled down to this pain management technique that I imagine is really effective. When I've had it done, I was really impressed.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be able to provide it and to be a part of that care on a regular basis. We do have battlefield acupuncture at all four of our clinic sites. So it's available here in Brookings, it's available in North Bend, it's available in Eugene and in Roseburg. And you're right, the history, it's a modern day, we call it a protocol. So mm-hmm. it's a very specific technique treating 5 points in each ear. But it is based on this 5,000-year-old system of medicine, this
yeah.
Eastern system of medicine. And we've been able to validate it with Western medicine and technology. And that's one of the exciting things that I see kind of even the skeptics in the room. I'm going, the literature proves that it's beyond whether you believe in it or not.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funnest things I have telling people about is I'm like, the stack of literature, you know, figuratively I do with my hands, and I go, it's this big, it's substantial.
Yeah. Let the listeners know he just indicated about a foot high stack.
Yeah. Even though we know it works, whether they do, you know, they test sham treatments, which is where they treat random points, and then they treat the real spots.
Mm-hmm.
And the real treatments always work better than the shams with this particular type of stuff. And even though we can prove it works, that's why the VA is doing it. And
mm-hmm.
I tell them, that's why the VA is doing it. It's beyond mm-hmm. a shadow of a doubt that it does work. And it's time we start making this available to veterans. And the VA is unanimous in that regard. And that's why we see it more and more locally and across the nation.
Oh.
And yet, the fun part is I go, we still don't know how it works.
Right.
We have ideas.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter at this point. We know it works so well and we see it work every day. And it's just a privilege to be able to offer it. So that makes it fun and very rewarding.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll share an example of a veteran who came in recently, who actually has been a veteran we've been seeing for almost 2 years in mm-hmm. the battlefield acupuncture, receives treatment for migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the pain of the migraines manageable. on a day-to-day basis, particularly when this veteran sleeps. And so they've been routinely getting it. They find relief lasts approximately 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And so we see them about, on average, 2 to 3 weeks apart. And they finally came in this time about a month and a half ago and shared that they had been their first 2 weeks with no pain.
Wow.
And they were certain that while they have done some other things for their overall well-being, again, because it's a complementary modality, they were certain that this has played a major role in them coming to this place of no pain. And they said, you know, I know I'm not in pain at the moment, but I don't want to go 2 weeks without it. I'm kind of afraid. I've lived with it for so long, and I'm finally without pain. Can I still receive a treatment? So we provided the treatment, knowing that most of the pain that this veteran experienced was at night anyway. And they came back 2 weeks later and another 2 weeks with no pain. And they're just, I mean, the type of joy that we saw in this person's eyes that, you know, is very touching. And so that's a lot of fun. And it also ties into how we explain to veterans. It's a unique experience. And sometimes it has this cumulative effect. The acupuncture, while we know it sometimes affects veterans' pain right there in the moment, it also sometimes is kind of stretched out over time, and there's sort of a more gradual effect that happens for some.
Right.
And
the short-term and the long-term effect.
Yeah.
And you were talking about him coming in every couple of weeks for a session, and I guess that was one of the things that I was concerned about, is it easy for people to get in now? Because there was this period of time when we used to hear all these horror stories about the VA that, you know, you couldn't get appointments and you couldn't get help and so on. Is it been really cleaned up, at least here locally?
Well, with the VA, the amount of care that we provide has always been a challenge. There's a lot of veterans, and we are privileged to provide that care. And so there's still challenges, but within the whole health and wellness program, we have, we're busy, but we have a lot more capacity. We can bring
That's great to know.
We would love to see a lot more veterans coming through our programs on a regular basis.
So while we're on that subject, let's give a phone number or some, at least the address of where it is, for anybody out there who doesn't already know how to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So one of the quickest ways to probably reach and learn more about any of our programs is if you call the main facility number, which is 541-440-1000. The extension to get to our program support assistant, our front desk essentially, is 40347. When you reach the person on that line, you ask them any question you have about our programs, they'll be able to direct you to, if they don't know the answer themselves, they'll be able to get you to somebody who does.
That's great. And let's try to remember to repeat that at the end for anybody who doesn't happen to have paper in front of them right now. I understand that right here in town, we have a facility down there on Railroad at 5th Street, right next to Chetco Brewery.
Correct. 840 Railroad Street.
Great. And so a person could just drop in there, too, and maybe there's some literature or something they could pick up. Or is there a website they can look on and find things? I'm sure there's a big VA website.
The easiest way to find information online about our programs at the moment is actually through Facebook. I know not everybody's keen on Facebook, so we're working on, with our public affairs, in developing a landing page on the main Roseburg VA webpage.
Okay.
That is currently in development. So the best way is really to grab a VA person and ask them about it, or check the Facebook page if you're internet savvy.
And what do they look up on Facebook?
They would go to the Roseburg VA page.
Okay.
Yeah, so look up the Roseburg VA healthcare system and find their landing page, and you can find information about the health and wellness programs. Yeah.
Perfect. Let's do that again at the end. And I want to let anybody know who has just maybe flipped the dial and found us that you're listening to Reality Check on KCIW LP Curry Coast Community Radio, 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. So let's see, what other programs are you excited about that maybe we haven't touched on so far?
I want to share that we have here in Brookings, want to really express gratitude to the Chetco Activity Center in their willingness to partner with us. We actually, because of our aligned missions in health and well-being in our community, they have actually been very gracious in setting up a memorandum with us and provide space for a couple of our programs, which I'd love for Penny to turn it over to Penny to share about.
Okay, yeah, we have three programs that we're actually doing up there. One was the whole health social slash support group. Mm-hmm. So we do that on Tuesdays at 3:30, mm-hmm. and just up in the dining room upstairs, and we have access to a TV with YouTube videos or whatever if I bring something like that in. But some of it's just sitting around the table. And then downstairs in their big rooms, their exercise rooms, I guess, because where they, you know, they have Tai Chi classes and stuff. I do a yoga fit group on Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 6, and on Tuesday and Thursday at 10 in the morning, a Qigong class. Mm. So those really, we could use some participants, so we'd love it. And people, I think one of the greatest things that I've really applaud the VA for is that you don't have to just be a veteran. You can be a vet and bring your spouse. You can bring a vet and bring your support person.
Hey, I know a vet. Can I come?
to our classes. If you're there to help support them, then, well, the ones at the activity center, the memorandum of agreement is, yes, the veterans can come up there and take our classes for free, but anybody in the community can come too, have to be a member of the activity center to participate.
Well,
but
it's
$20 a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you can go and do bingo and everything else they offer up there. So that's
So the three things
price.
They have up there are Qigong and the
yoga
support group, mm-hmm. and the yoga.
Yeah.
And the Tai Chi. Where does that happen?
Well, actually, that's an exciting topic as well, because we are in the process of getting some more training to our staff. And Penny is one of those who will be receiving training in what's called a Tai Chi for Arthritis program. And so it is a particular form that is really good for generally anti-inflammation.
Like, really? You
know, dealing with inflammation in the body.
So
it's a program that has been, it's accredited or recognized by arthritis foundations around the world, as well as some recent acknowledgement by the CDC. So it's Tai Chi for Arthritis and fall prevention, excuse me. And so that will be coming in the near future, probably more around autumn time and December this year. And then there may even be some developments in another modality of a yoga or a guided meditation that, you know, to add to Penny's skill set, which she has, which is wide. Yeah.
You can keep adding things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, always.
That's wonderful. I wanted to go back to talking about veterans' issues as separate from just general issues, because all of these things would be good for all of us. But what about things like, you know, PTSD? What I've heard is that these last few wars we've been in have been really, really hard on the vets coming back. They have, you know, their own particular kind of PTSD, which is really severe. Have you been finding out much about that in dealing with it in your programs?
Yes. There's some definitely a need to, when PTSD is really severe, to address it with a great deal of sensitivity. There are a number of modalities that are most appropriate for clinicians in the mental health setting, such as psychologists and social workers, who are very skilled at some of these modalities to
help. Which you're not actually doing. You're more referring that part out.
Yeah, when it is at a level that it would just be the most, I guess, therapeutic and supportive to the veteran, if it's if it's a enhanced or I'm looking for the right word, but if it's really at a severe level.
Uh-huh.
So with PTSD, it's really a case by case basis.
Right.
For many, it may be more appropriate to have some other therapy, some other kinds of therapeutic modalities before joining some of our programs, but really we get to know that through the relationship with the veteran, talking to them. If they've heard about our programs and they're eager to start them, sometimes just that motivation and that willingness to be present to themselves in a well-being program can make that big change. If maybe they were referred to us because of somebody else, they're not really sure, it's in that conversation that we discover whether or not maybe it'd be more appropriate to start somewhere else first. But generally speaking, some of our programs that are really beneficial for that are our mindfulness-based stress reduction, which currently is only available in Roseburg. There are some other mindful components, though, to everything that we do. Many of the things that Penny does, as she mentioned multiple times
a
week.
Tai Chi, for instance, yoga, yes. All of those things involve awareness and mindfulness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the VA has amazing programs, inpatient programs for PTSD. When I worked in Sheridan, Wyoming, we were the kind of the main hub for mental health at our VA. So we got all the veterans from Colorado and stuff, and a lot of the younger ones. And I was a recreation therapist then. That's my background for 25 years. And amazing inpatient programs. And just to be a part of them coming in broken and self-medicating maybe, you know, drugs and alcohol, and seeing them coming out whole again and with hope and feeling good and having, it was just, it's a great thing. So there are amazing programs out there. And one thing I wanted to add to that, I think, you know, when you look at, like Fletcher said, if you're in, you know, where you're totally isolating, everything's triggering you, then you need to go to this more extensive programs.
Right.
But just for whole health in general, I think it's so broad. I mean, the things you look at for PTSD, for depression, for diabetes, for heart disease, the basics for most of those that you see, the ones you can pull upon are stress management, eating a healthy diet, getting some exercise, getting some sleep. You know, the basics are all kind of the
it
same
comes
for overall
down to that,
wellness.
Doesn't it?
I know. So
with the PTSD, what if you were just taking in a vet for the first time and doing your interview, and what kinds of things would you be looking for that would tell you that there was an issue with PTSD here?
So I guess one of the things I would say here is that we're not, neither of our roles or any of those in our service are
diagnostic.
So we wouldn't be making that diagnosis.
No, but you would refer them for an evaluation,
exactly,
right? And
yeah.
So what kinds of things would kind of make you start thinking that way, that maybe we should refer?
Well, that's that amazing process of the coaching. So, and developing this relationship and talking with a veteran and kind of unpackaging what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
In that process, we often identify one, maybe two other referrals that would be appropriate. And it's
right.
Not that we just automatically make them, but we're talking with the veteran. And as they begin to share where they're at with stuff, we would then present these other options. And Penny has done many of these types of referrals. Our whole health coach in Eugene has done many of these where they begin to identify with the veteran. Okay, so it sounds like, you know, there's a lot going on. You've mentioned a number of large items, and I'm excited to work with you about this, this, and this. What do you feel like would be the most beneficial to you right now to address this? And usually they often, again, it comes back to that wisdom that it seems like is already there. They'll go, you know, I think I need to talk to somebody at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know how to plug that veteran right into those resources within the VA.
So I guess for me, when I hear PTSD, I think it's probably a syndrome, if you will, a constellation of various things. I wouldn't know, talking to a person, even though I have a background in those kind of skills myself, what to be looking for. I mean, I'm sure there's flashbacks and being triggered to some memory that would be very difficult. That kind of thing would be a pretty good tip off.
Intrusive
isolation.
Types of thoughts can happen, yeah. But generally, it's hard to say. It takes that special clinician, special training to make a clinical diagnosis
sure.
of it. But they can be living with versions of those types of things. You know, a vigilance around what's going on, the isolating, avoiding certain places, the intrusive thoughts is another way. Because not all are flashbacks. That's sort
right,
of, there's,
but intrusive
there's kind of a
in
distinction.
Some way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
the vigilance, I imagine, is a big tip off. That's what I've heard from people that have talked to me about their thing. Because my generation, you know, when I'm talking about Vietnam vets back in the dark ages, I talk to them now, and so many of them say, oh, you know I had PTSD, but I didn't know I had it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, is if somebody's out there who is really struggling and maybe they have that, but they don't know it, it may be anything for them to... Well, at least maybe come in and have an interview and get checked out a little bit more thoroughly and have that conversation.
Yes, and I appreciate you saying that so much. There's something that I've in fact encountered personally with a number of veterans who I've talked to, and in, let's say, you know, I meet one on the street, which I have, and I'm talking to them and I'm asking them if they get care at the VA, and they say no. They're trying to be tough and they manage whatever's going on for them on their own, going, oh, you know, I know there's got to be other guys that are so much worse off than me. I don't want to take away from them getting a chance to get health care. So I try to take care of it on my own.
The term I'll soldier on comes to mind.
Yes.
You know, which is so classic. And yet I imagine when people come, it's not just finding out that, oh, you know, the battlefield acupuncture worked for me, but also just hearing that this guy next to me has had a lot of those same experiences. I'm not as alone in this as I think I am.
Yeah.
And that, or conversely, maybe I should take some of these things seriously that are going on with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and a lot of the referrals I get are from our mental health facilitators. So they, you know, refer people that they're working with and saying yes, and because it is complimentary. Go and, you know, Penny's doing these classes on this, and this, you know. So, in, you know, so they're seeing that it's a step in the to help them with what they're helping them with. So it's kind of all just a team.
Yeah, it becomes a very fluid journey for the veteran. And that's really the effort of creating a whole health system, is that they begin to experience it as more of a seamless piece, where through these pathway services, such as the whole health coaching and the taking charge of my life and health, they're introduced to so much more. They get to unpackage and really develop their own healthcare plan, and then plug into the things that are meaningful to them, and have this kind of ebb and flow with the services back and forth that engage them in their care.
And the thing is, it makes it affordable for so many people that maybe otherwise couldn't take advantage of these kinds of things that are out there, but oftentimes quite expensive to do on a regular basis. So that's wonderful. When you talk about pathway, you're talking about that sense of finding out what it is that's really important. And is there more to it than that? Have I got that sorted out, as far as you say you've got these sort of components?
Yeah, and that's actually a really good way of framing it. We, within the whole health system, there are kind of three components. There is that pathway, which is this introductory experience to whole health, looking at the wheel of health. And this is an area of Penny's specialty. And then we have whole health and clinical care, which is an area that our system is really focusing on now and over the coming years in developing further. And then our well-being programs. And those three kind of comprise.
So the clinical being when you have an actual medical issue that has to be addressed, like diabetes or something like that.
Correct, yep.
And then the wellness programs being more of the Tai Chi and the yoga and that sort of thing. So there's really three legs on the stool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really great. Do you have statistics or, you know, some research that you've run across? I know that I have heard that there's really good outcomes for people when they have taken this sort of preventive approach to their health. And, you know, it's so easy to just let things slide until you've got a really bad problem. And then the outcomes aren't as great.
Yes. So we don't have exact data from our, we don't have data from our system, per se.
But in general?
Oh, in general, yeah. There's, the only reason we're here today doing this is because the data says it works.
And overwhelming
when we know,
evidence.
Like you said, it makes it, it's inexpensive. There's a little bit of an investment from our healthcare system, which our leadership is so supportive of, and knowing that if we build this team and we offer this care, it pays off in the long run, because it pays off for the well-being of our community, the well-being of our veterans. And it also helps to, as veterans learn more about managing their own care and they become more empowered again in their health and well-being, it helps to reduce some of the very expensive costs that can occur in a healthcare system.
Yeah, in the long run, it's cheaper for the healthcare system to do it this way. And what's exciting about what you're doing is you're going to be generating all kinds of data out of having such a great pool of people to work with, that hopefully this will trickle out to the overall healthcare system of the country. I'm really hoping that happens anyhow.
Yeah, we have hundreds of stories and we love to tell them, and veterans give us permission to kind of share their general story with other veterans, and they're excited to tell them to other veterans. And yeah, we're excited to see how the data starts to come through over the coming years.
Yeah, yeah. Let me say again, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reality Check on KCIW LP, Prairie Coast Community Radio 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. So we've got a little bit more time left. Is there anything in particular about your program that you want to make sure we get to that we haven't talked about, or any particular stories you'd like to share?
I think I talked about the ones at the Chetco Activity Center, but a couple of the diabetic management one that's at the clinic here in Brookings. But we also have the MOVE program, which is a weight loss behavioral change program that's 12 weeks, and then Taking Charge of My Life and Health class, which is kind of the crux of whole health, and it's, you know, 8 components.
Can you say a little more about what that is?
Yeah, that's where, you know, you're introducing them and saying, why does this matter to you? I mean, we do it in MOVE too. You know, why do you want to lose weight? Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you? You know, we do it with the diabetic management. Why, you know, why do you want to take charge of your diabetes? But for this one, it's got 8 components: fitness, food and drink. So mm-hmm. our nutrition, spirituality, community, friends and family, personal development.
Power of the mind.
Recharge and refresh, yeah. So the veteran's in the middle. You know, you are the main team player here. So you're in the middle, and then it's built around, mindfulness is built around that. And then those 8 components that, you know, that are really our power right there is, you know, to make great changes in our life. If we can make some changes in those 8 areas, or maybe some of them we don't even need to, you know, we might have some of them already down, but we can look at a couple of areas. And then outside of that are the complementary medicines and what we have going right now, regular medicine. And then outside of that is the community. So, and veterans, it's just empowering them. It's not, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, I just had a gentleman yesterday tell me, or day before, said, yeah, I came in and they told me I had diabetes and told me to take this pill and never said another word. Not to say that that's a bad thing for the VA, but, and I said, yeah, they'd have probably maybe done the same thing with high blood pressure and cholesterol too. But so he's going to come to the diabetic management class so he can actually learn, you know, what is going on every step of the way. And doctors, as we all know, they get so much time to see a patient. And so a lot of times don't have time to sit down and go through all that, whereas this is a 4-week class, so you're going to learn a lot in that. Well, not 4 weeks, but 4 sessions during once a week for 4 weeks. So
You know, like you keep saying, empowerment, it gives people the tools to be able to start taking charge and taking some responsibility for how their life is going to go. And that's so much a relief after, you know, just getting a diagnosis and not even knowing what that system in your body is supposed to be doing and what you can do to influence it and all of that. Yeah, that's really wonderful. What about the MOVE program? How is that structured? I mean, not in terms of sessions, but how do you approach it, and what kind of recommendations and methodologies do you use there?
One of the things that I like to share with the veterans when they come into the MOVE program is we're going to cover a lot of material that some they probably heard before, some that may be new and novel. Maybe it's been presented before, but sometimes we're just in a different place and we're going to hear it again and receive it in a new way. But what makes the MOVE program really unique is that structure of being able to come together as a group on a weekly basis and have somebody who is very skilled in helping the person to identify what's the next step. Because we're all, I know I've done this, I set my eyes on a goal and I bite off more than I can chew. I may try to take on more than is really realistic, or sometimes I may take on less than realistic. And the coach is there. The facilitator helps to reflect back and help to really identify what is perhaps the right amount. And they're not choosing that.
Right, to find the balance.
Yeah, and they're not choosing that, but they're helping the individual, the participant, to narrow in on that. And through that process of dialogue and conversation in the group, that is what I feel makes that group special.
That's so important when it comes to weight management. I know I've been through the wars with that myself, and finding the pace to go at where you're not overly challenging yourself, where you can't possibly meet the goal and then you feel terrible because you didn't.
Exactly.
Or under-challenging and not really getting the job done, not really getting the feeling of success that should come with it. You know, setting small enough goals and all those little pieces that, you know, if you think about it, they're really essential for being successful.
You bet. And it's all about behavior changes. So you're looking at all kinds of different behavior changes. It's not just about what you're eating or going and exercising like crazy and running marathons. You know, it's mm-hmm. about lifestyle changes, you know, ones we can make and create for a lifetime. This is not a quick fix. This is, we're going to make these changes and incorporate them.
It's an evolution. You're not ripping the skin off a snake here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
you know, all these programs, like, you know, especially those eight components, I like to think of food as medicine, exercise as medicine, socialization is medicine, you know, our spirituality and having, you know, a purpose is medicine. So all these things, you know, are, you can look at that way too. Yeah. And they're very powerful medicines. And I always tell the veterans, don't overlook simple, because simple works. It doesn't take that much, but it does take. It just is, we have to put a little bit of effort into all those different areas, but we don't have to put huge amounts in. We overwhelm ourselves with thinking we have to go do all this stuff that's, you know, and we don't, but probably 80, 85%. If we can stay on track 85% of the time, we're going to be doing good. And then we got 15% of the time to play with, to where we can, you know, sit on the couch or go eat that cheesecake or, you know, do things that are part of living and part of pleasure. So we don't have to give everything up, but we need to stay on track most of the time in order to create that balance in our life and stay healthy and well.
Yeah, and being reminded, you know, having a regular place to go where that you revisit these things on a regular basis is so important to keep one's motivation, because we get so distracted. This whole culture is so distracting all the time about everything. I mean, I find I have to revisit my direction on a pretty much a daily basis, or I just forget. I go la-la-ing off into some other place, you know. And I like the way that broke down into those eight areas. I think you could look at that breakout and go, well, I'm doing good here and here and here, and these three over here could use some work, but these are the two that I really need to address right now, you know, and just be able to set some priorities. And then when that gets a little better, then you can maybe take on this one over here, you know.
And that's exactly what it's built on, is success in just. Usually it's only one or two things during that whole 9 weeks that we even want to start working on, because we can't overwhelm ourselves. So we just pick the, you know, and it might not be the one you need that you feel like you need the most. It might be the one that you feel like you can be the most successful at right now. And then we can build on that. Once we get a little bit of success, then it's like, wow, okay, I did that. Now I can do this other thing. So it's really
building
up
your confidence. Because that's, I think, what happens to some folks. They just get bogged down, especially in things like weight loss. They just go, I can't lose weight. I might as well just eat whatever the heck I want, you know? Things like that. And it's just not clear thinking, but it's easy to get there if you don't have the support you need and a structure to interact with that keeps you on the path, you know? One of the things, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to piggyback on a few of the things both of you had just said, is that, you know, there's the beautiful piece of being in the class and that tendency to kind of get bogged down and then feel bad about oneself or feeling like one is failing when it comes to weight loss or whatever those identified areas are. And one of the great things that our facilitators do is that kind of reframing, how to shift our thinking about some of those moments. Rather than failures, they're learning moments, and how to build strategies to overcome barriers when you're faced with some of these challenges again. And then just in knowing that we're nearing end of time and things like that, as you'd mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the things I like sharing with veterans, I get most excited about when they're a little bit unsure about which are these programs. You guys have a few, and I'm really interested in many of them. The one that I am almost always referring to when it's in their area is the Taking Charge of My Life and Health, because it does have this experiential component built into every class. So they get to walk away with an experience, almost a new tool in their toolbox.
That's great.
For managing their stress. They get introduced to these areas, as Penny has identified. They get to begin to build this relationship with their peers and the facilitator and start to go through this process that you actually explained extremely well of identifying those areas. And it's just a really good point to enter into exploring these things and then getting plugged into what's next.
Yeah. We could go on for ages here, but we are getting towards the end of our hour. I wanted to mention, I saw that there is a fitness center that you've got access to as well.
That's actually in Roseburg.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's too bad.
Yes,
when are we going to get one here? We need one.
Well, and one of the neat things, too, is we know we have a lot of traveling veterans. And we do have some veterans that may not live in Roseburg, but mm-hmm. have actually come through fitness center orientation. So mm-hmm. if you happen to live in this area and you find yourself in Roseburg periodically and you come to that facility from time to time, or if you're in the area visiting family and you'd like to come to the facility to access that fitness center, you can get a consult from your primary care provider. Uh-huh. And then when you are there on one of the days that we do orientations, and quite frankly, if you're making a special trip over, you find yourself over in the area, most of the time we could accommodate us.
Is that true for all the veteran centers, that if there are things like this that it might be available on a drop-in basis? If you're traveling, you might be able to actually look up other vet centers and find other resources?
Yes. Yeah.
That's good to know.
The VA is trying to make it more and more possible for veterans to get their care across the country at VAs. We have snowbirds, as I think is the expression mm-hmm,
exactly.
goes, for veterans who travel. And that's pretty well established. There are ways for them to transfer their care. And the VA is constantly looking at how to make that easier and easier. So if you're moving around, going, especially within the Roseburg system, if you find yourself at any of these areas, you're going from Brookings, you're going to be in Eugene, and you'd really like to get battlefield acupuncture, there's no reason you can't get it in Eugene if we have, you know, the order, or you've established that kind of care already, and you just know you're going to miss your Brookings appointment, but you're going to be in Eugene. Let us know, talk to your provider, and get scheduled so that we can, yeah, take care of you when you're there.
That sounds great. Well, this has been really wonderful. I want to get back to reminding people of the phone numbers and addresses that you shared earlier, that the center here in town is at Railroad at 5th Street, right next to the microbrewery down there. And everybody knows where that is, of course. And then also you have a phone number for us.
Yes, that's 541-440-1000. That's the main Roseburg healthcare system number. And the extension to reach our front desk for whole health and wellness, 40347.
And then also you were talking about the Facebook page, which is found under the Roseburg VA, I think you said.
Correct. The Roseburg VA healthcare system has a Facebook page where there's regularly posted updates about programs, and including all the whole health and wellness programs.
That's
wonderful. And specifically for the Brookings Clinic here, if they just come in the doors at the VA clinic, and in the lobby, we have all brochures on every flyers on all the whole health programs right there in the lobby. We have one that's got everything listed, and then we have individual flyers for each of the programs.
I'll tell you a little bit about each mm-hmm. one so you can read up on it and see what you feel is good for what you need. Okay, so I wanted to just say again, this has been Reality Check. We've had Penny Bangs and Fletcher Watson here with us from our local wellness program for the vets here in town. And really appreciate you folks coming on and giving us so much food for thought, and to see so many exciting things becoming available here. This is really, really wonderful. I'm quite moved. This has been Lee Tooley, your host, with Pi White, technical support and co-director. This has been Reality Check on KCIW. Thank you for listening. The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry County Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.